Welcome to part three of Bases 130 with Tina Bird. And shall we say, Tina, you're having your blonde moment here. Okay? So these are your passport photographs. Explain what's going on here.
So my passport was due to be renewed. Anyway, a few days before this is when I had my experience, my abduction on the what I call the Travelator, when all those people were hanging, which we spoke about in the first.
I think you spoke about it in part one. I think the Travelator is coming up.
So these pictures were taken about 2 days, 3 days after that. So the pictures you see on your right hand side with me with my hair down, I went with my mum. It was my day off.
And what we're looking at here are these marks.
Yep. I was working that afternoon, so it was my morning off, my day off in the morning. And I took my mum, we went to Bitton Post Office in Southampton, and there was a photo booth inside. And I said to her, mum, I've got to get my passport taken because we're going away on holiday. I said, so my passport's run out, I need to renew my passport. So she said, all right, we're popping now and we're going to do something else for her, and went on to work. So I go in, put my money in, go in, have my pictures taken. So me and my mum were just walking about because it used to take a couple of minutes to process back then. So we were walking about the shop. Mum goes, oh, I'll wait here. Anyway, I was having a look around the post office and all of a sudden my mum says, what the bleep, bleep, bleeping hell is that? And the whole shop must have looked at her. I'm like, mum. I goes over and she's pointing at my pictures and I pick my pictures up. And as you can see, there's black bruising around my neck. First thing my mum does is grab my hair, pull my hair out of the way and pull my uniform off me to have a look at my neck. And she says, oh, my God, what's that? So what have you done to yourself? She says, it's got to be something wrong with the camera.
I think it goes around both sides.
Yeah. And so she said, there's got to be something wrong with the camera. She said, we go to another photo booth. So we left Bitton. My mum's going, she's still looking at me. Look at these pictures. She says, that's not right. That's not right. So we drove to a place called Woolston, about 10 minutes away from Bitton, just straight down the other end of the road. So we drove to Woolston, and there used to be a Woolworths in Victoria Road in the High Street in Woolston. So parked there, went in, and they had a photo booth. So I paid my money again. Put my money in, sat there, had my pictures taken again, and my mum was ready. She was there waiting for the pictures to come out, and they came out exactly the same. So I had two sets of the pictures with the same bruising around my neck. And mum said, that's not right, you're seeing a doctor, there's something wrong with that. So two different photo booths. That's the one from Bitton. Went to Woolston, and the one from Woolston was exactly the same. Because you could have a blue, orange, or white background. So I chose the white background again. Or was it orange? Second time. Anyway, exactly the same bruising. So she goes, you're going to see a doctor. So I went to make an appointment with my doctor at Woolston Lodge. And I went in and said to the doctor, can I show you something? He said, yes. I said, I had this. They said, I didn't tell my abduction experience. I said, I had a bit of pain in my neck. And I said, could you look at this? He said, well, I'm not supposed to look at photos, but he had a look. And he looked at them and he touched them with his fingers. He said, I don't want to see that. He said, but he was looking. And I said, well, Tina, he said, I can't send you to A&E. He said, unless, you know.
Now, the important thing about this is they're not visible in normal light. These are only visible through the photograph on the photo booth, which also leads to questions about what range of frequencies are the photographic passport photographs actually analysing. Maybe they're analysing a little bit more than just getting a mugshot.
So so as you can see...
The context of this is when we did an alien implant scan in the United States, and depending on what frequency of light you photograph a person, you can see these implant or marks if you use ultraviolet A, ultraviolet B, or ultraviolet C. And if you've just been taken by the aliens, you will see that if you use that higher frequency of light, which is why I'm very suspicious of passport photographs, based on what you're presenting here, that they are scanning for other things in a passport photograph they're not telling you about. That's my point.
Yep. So when I said to the doctor, look, there's nothing, and he looked, I kid you not, he checked my head, he looked in my ears, up my nostrils, down my mouth, in my eyes, he touched my neck, he had a look around my neck, and couldn't see anything, anything. And he listened to my chest, he said, Tina, I can't send you to A&E with photographs. He said, because you're not displaying other symptoms, he said, if your neck's getting worse, you start to have nosebleeds, you have severe headaches, he said, go to A&E and tell them what the problem is. He said, well, the only thing I can suggest is go back to the photo booth in a week's time, same photo booth, he said, and get some more pictures. If the bruising has significantly reduced, he said, you know that it's healing. He said, I said, well, how come I can't see him? He said, only certain bruising is only you can see under certain light. Certain bruising at different depths in a tissue is only available when different, you can only see it in certain light. That's why you're seeing them on the photograph. So he said, go back and photograph yourself next week and have a clear view of your neck. So he said, wait 5 days and go back. He said, if it's not, then come back and see me. He obviously knew. He didn't say, you've been abducted. Is something happened to you? He didn't ask me any of those questions. He didn't ask me how that happened. He didn't seem surprised. He looked shocked at the pictures at first. He didn't want to touch the pictures, and he told me to take me with him. I didn't. I left a set. So it's two sets. The one in Wollstone I left with the doctor, and the other one I took with me. So I went back a week later with my mother in tow and went back to Bitton Post Office and had the pictures taken. Now, if you go back to that picture, if you can...
This is the second set week later.
So this is the second set 5 days later. Now, if you look down on my chest, below the bruising, you will see two round red marks identical each side of my chest. Now,
Are we looking there?
Yeah, I didn't notice that till someone pointed that out later on.
Okay.
So what's significant about those marks?
Let's see if we can get that a bit bigger.
What's significant about those marks? Is
improving the resolution.
When I was on that, I was on that.
These are there. If you can,
hopefully,
you'll be able to see this on.
Yeah, I can see it clearly here. Yeah. Now, apart from you can see the neck bruising has significantly reduced.
Yeah, that's there.
I was on. So that either happened when they yanked me back on the bed, or I was up on that travelator. Now the travelator thing came up and round my neck, underneath my arms, and up to my chest. So it went down my back like a clothes hanger, up underneath my arms into my chest. There's where it ended. So they could, that marks there, you can clearly see. That is obviously, that is evidence. That is physical evidence left on a body. So the bruising went down. That was either them from yanking me back on that table to get on whatever they wanted was next, or where they restrained me, or where I was hanging up from that thing, from the... travelator thing.
Well, we'll get to the travelator when we can, because we're just doing this in sequence.
I think we've done that already. Yeah.
Right, okay. We've just, we've certainly done it, I think. Anyway. Okay, we've got another one here, which is that, oh, let's getting my fingers all on a twist here.
So this is, they say, when they put you back, describe the room that you're in, or when you go there. So when they take you on a bigger ship or a different ship, they take you into this room or a space. I couldn't see the walls. I could only say it looked domed. It could have been square, but it didn't look square. I was in the middle on a metal table and looking up, so I couldn't tell how far off the floor I was. But because the light was so bright, it just looked like a dome over me, like an umbrella. So I just presumed the walls were walls of light. And it was like a dome shape because I couldn't see the walls because the light was so bright. But I got the feeling it was very, very small. It was a lot smaller. The room was a lot tinier than it appeared to be.
So what gave you that feeling?
It's like if you went into like a shed or like a small toilet or a smaller room, your body senses it's a smaller environment, you know. And it just seemed like I sensed it was a smaller environment. It felt like a small room.
You sort of acoustically, your radar was sort of a bit restricted.
Probably, It just seemed like a smaller room.
So on to the next one. And we have a spider.
So after the Travelator incident, what had happened was, as they noticed me observing, and the I was linked to the one that knew me because he was there. There's other ones, other species there. This was, they were working together in this pit. The one, what gave it away is the one that knew me was talking to me, but he was trying to block the link, the others from knowing that I was awake and observing them. He was observing me to see what I was going to do or what I was taking in or my interest. He was observing me. But because he'd stopped the others from hearing, the three little ones he was working with couldn't hear him in their link. So they physically stopped. Normally they carry on whatever they're doing. They talk to each other. They don't bother looking up. They physically stopped what they were doing and looked at him. That drew the attention of the one behind him working at the far panel. And he freaked out the second he realised I was awake. He was up, ran down the thing towards me, and he jumped up. He was so quick, and he either touched me with a prong or with his finger in the middle of my head. And I had an image, he put an image of a spider in my head. And from the second huge spider, that's the spider. And all my memories started to dissolve, and I was fighting to remember. I was just trying to focus on one thing that I'd seen, you know, to keep it, because it just seemed to be.
So this was an image in your head?
Yeah, he put an image of a big black spider in my head. And it just started to dissolve my memories. I was just trying to remember, yeah.
So was that spider moving?
It was just like a big spider in my head. It was like a vision of a big spider. It was dissolving my memory just so I'd forget. But I'm not frightened of spiders anymore. Before, terrified.
Okay, we have another one here.
So this is a picture of me. I've never seen a window in one before. People say there's in spaceships. I've got a view, whether it's a window, but I was allowed to. That you see me stood on was like a ramp. It was like a ramp, and I stepped up like a panel. It was raised from the floor, and I was stood next to another panel, and I looked out the window, like a viewing window, and I could see Earth. That's the one that knows me. This is the actual incident. It was this time he asked me if I wanted to stay with him. He said, would I? I got a feeling there was others there, but I couldn't see them. I felt that they were close, but I couldn't turn around. So I don't know if there was others there. But I was on this, and I'm quite tall. So I was on this raised ramp looking out this window, and I could see the Earth as we were like moving away from it. And the one that knows me, he said, did I want to stay? Which would mean that I could never go back. It was a yes or no, there and then kind of thing. That means I'd never go back to Earth, never see my family. And that was it. And I obviously made a decision. I wanted to go home.
I think they give that on quite a few abduction situations.
Yeah, because after that, he showed me a vision of the end of the world, and there was like grey smoke in the atmosphere, red fire above, in the clouds above London, and there was these like things in the sky. It could have been missiles, I don't know. It was awful scenes, awful end of the world, Armageddon scenes. It's terrible.
You're talking 2024 going on 2026.
I don't know, but it looked pretty recent, and it looked... He said, you know, at least you're brave. He said, you'll live on through your children.
So, I mean, that's one way of inducing, you know, please stay with us, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the world's going to end. You're going to die.
Yeah, stay with us.
It's going to be terrible. Yeah, and you still don't want to stay with us.
I think my family's sense of emotion kind of, again, they look to your emotions as like you've said something. They interpret as words or, you know. The question.
What do you mean, you know? What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, it's like if I was to say to you, oh, I'm happy today, and you feel happy inside and you want to sing a little song in your head or you're smiling, to them, that is like you talking to them. That is like you're asking a question or giving an answer. So if you're fearful, it's kind of no. If you're happy, it's a yes. Or if you're feeling angry, I'm not quite sure. They don't like our behaviour. They don't like our feelings or how we use them or how they perceive them. I'm not sure if it's something they do or if it's a pheromone level we give off. It's something that they don't like or can't do.
Well, I've heard from other things that strong emotion does seem to disturb them. I mean, what made you feel that? What was what within your feeling and that made you feel that they didn't like that?
I don't know, because I think the first instance they didn't like it, I think, is when I freaked out with the baby. That's the first time I've ever seen him disturbed by my behaviour, because before I've never been allowed to walk about or do anything. And when you're taken, you're like frozen. You can't think. When they want something from you, you have to cooperate. Then you can do something. You don't know you're feeling. Like if you feel cold and you don't feel the cold, but your skin feels cold, that's a reaction. But when you're mentally upset, that's a different type of reaction. And that's what they can't cope with. They can't control you then, or your preceptors don't work correctly in your head, or your body's given off a vibration, or it's something that they detect that they don't like. I mean, I could easily, I think a 12-year-old kid could, I could easily grab hold of one of them and subdue him, and there's nothing they could do about it. But they keep us subdued because of our behaviour or our aggressiveness. It's something that they don't like, or we're unpredictable, you know.
And this is something that you've intuitively picked up from all
this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We could, you know, they keep us subdued so they could do what they want with us, because we're not going to go voluntarily and be agreed to have bits cut out of you, which is what I've said before.
Actually, I haven't asked this. I mean, have you been reading other books about abductions and stuff like that?
No, I didn't even want to approach the subject. It wasn't until me and my partner became ill that I started to look into the field. I just wanted to put behind me. I thought all that was behind me. It seemed to have stopped, but it obviously wasn't.
Which
finished.
Obviously led you onto coming to those big conferences.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted help. I wanted to
and
know.
And there's lots of pictures of you meeting these very important people. Actually, I think you're very important, and they're happy to meet you.
A few people have actually said that. I have met, I can't remember his name now. It's not Fernando. I can't remember.
Don't say that. If you can't remember somebody's name,
I can't remember. But he was the head of the military for Portugal, and he gave a speak at Gary Heseltine's thing in Yorkshire. So I met him then. I met Bob Jacobs then, and I had a little quick chat and pictures with them afterwards. And he was speaking about our alien organisms, and when he
and let's just mention your Facebook page if people want to see those photos. And
so I'm T.A. Bird under author on Facebook, or you can find me as Tina Bird, on my Wix site is T.A. Bird, but you can find it on there. Or there is Hive. I created a site called Hive on there. Actually, it's called it's HIVE, which is human individuals visited by extraterrestrials. And that's for people to leave messages.
Well, I haven't heard that before. You didn't say that. Tell me all about that.
So after I went to a couple of conferences, people kept coming over and asking me, where do you go for help? I've been abducted. And I always refer them back to David Hodrum. So I just thought, what's the name for a site? And it's not about UFOs. It's about alien abduction. So it's human individuals visited by extraterrestrials. Hive. And that's for anyone if they want to contact me.
Now, that's interesting. You have separated the subject of UFOs and alien abduction. It's not about UFOs, you said.
UFOs.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, UFOs are very militarized, and people, you know, it's like a kiddie, what do they call it? What's that card game? Trumps. It's a bit like, I've got trumps and you've got trumps and you're no good and you've got crap cards. It's not about that. Hive is about helping people. It's about the human interaction, the people that have been visited by extraterrestrials and the consequences of that. And there are consequences, whether people want to face it. If you're taken as a child, you don't know that you're going to get cancer when you're older. You don't know you have to have a hysterectomy by the time you're 38. And when they cut you open, they find thousands of needle marks stabbed across your pelvis. You know, they don't tell you
that. What was that? Explain that.
So when I was taken when I was younger, and all these operations and things that they did on me, I had to have a hysterectomy.
Now, who were doing the operations?
These little white things. When I was abducted, I woke up during one of these operations. And there was three of them on my right, the one that knows me on the left. And the one that knows me on the left was amazed that I'd woke up. And he was trying to distract me by showing me images in my head. And that's when he showed me the images of male and female. And
humans.
Their signs for human beings, their sign for male and female. And they described it as, I think I might have asked a question, and they described it as a dud toy, which you put batteries into. So they still don't know what spark of life, whether it's the female egg or the male sperm. They don't know. All they ever likened it to is when they're together, it's like a dud toy and you put a battery in and it works. But that's what he was showing me in images. And he showed me these images of their sign for male and female. And he was showing me other images. And when they do that and you get the hang of it, the problem is they speed it up and it's too quick. I can't take it in. I then
can you recall that?
Probably maybe under hypnosis, but it was showing me so much to see what I could pick up. But then I stopped seeing at the link I was in because they did something. And when I woke up, there was blood shooting out of my chest, like out of a hole.
Sort of blood spewing out of your chest? Right, yeah.
And as I looked down, they had this thing over my stomach, over my pelvis, like a box thing on my stomach. It was doing something. And one of the little ones freaked out because this blood hit him. And they were quite happy. The little ones are black inside. They're quite happy. There's a void of emotion in that. And they're quite happy to let you die and move on to someone else. He made them fix me. But it wasn't until years later, I had to have a hysterectomy when I was 38. And when I had a hysterectomy, they said, no, it'd be keyhole, half an hour thing, all this modern technology. You'll be out, no problems. I was in there for 6 hours, I think. They said they had to cut me in half, pull me a body like that. She said I was physically on top of you. There was a few other surgeons in the room. She said both hands were in your pelvis, pulling this black webbing stuff out of your stomach on your pelvis. She said, I even had to leave some of that stuff in there. They cut out what they could. She said, I didn't get it all. And when we examined your pelvis, she said, it's covered in thousands of little tiny needle marks. It looks like someone's just hit you over and over and over, stabbed you with thousands of times with a needle. She said, your pelvis has completely obliterated that. And that's in a medical report. My medical discharge from my hysterectomy says that my pelvis is completely obliterated from left to right.
The bone of your pelvis?
Yeah, my pelvis bone, yeah. Both sides completely obliterated. Now, that's going to even affect me. It hurts now. I get a lot of pain now. And arthritis and things like that in certain positions. If you're sleeping in the wrong position, it does hurt. So you can imagine how that's going to feel in another 10 or 20 years' time, or if I need to have a hip replacement. These are further consequences, their understanding, that's happening to me now. So anyone else that's having that experience, I know Kim Carlsberg recently came out.
Kim Carlsberg, brilliant lady. She's friends with me on Facebook.
And she said she's having the same problem. She's having so much pain at the problem now. So there's no one helping us.
Did publish a wonderful work of art of her photographs, and she actually took a lot of pictures on the set of Baywatch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she was involved with that. And the people at Baywatch were all very sympathetic to the whole UFO thing.
Yeah, so people don't realise that.
That's Pamela Anderson and all that lot.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff and all that.
So people don't realise the pain abductees go through. So it's not just mental pain because there's something wrong with you. It's physical pain in your body. And these are the consequences of being abducted. So that's why it's different from the UFO field. Abduction is about not just psychology, it's a physiology and, it's inside your body. So it's about biology. So these are something that needs to be looked at. So which is why I call it HIVE, human individuals, not UFOs, human individuals visited by extraterrestrials. So if you want to go on there and ask for help, I've referred quite a few people to David Hodgrin. So
the website is, or where is that again?
That's on Facebook. It's a group. It's called HIVE, HIVE. It's human individuals visited by extraterrestrials. And you'll just see a picture I'll put on there.
Is that a closed group? You have to become a member.
Yeah, it's a closed group. I think you have to go in it because I don't want people, being harassed on there. All I can do is just tell you what I've been through myself. Just speaking to another abductee, and I've spoken to many, and a few actually have been men. Just speaking, I'm quite close with one of them.
Do you think that's strange that they're men? Is there any strange difference that you've?
I think the beings are more sympathetic towards the males and the bonding side with the males than the other females.
Why do you say that?
From my own experience and what at least two other male abductees have told me their experience has been. Like Whitley Schreiber, if I pronounce that, I met him.
Yeah.
And his experience is similar to mine, but different because of the male side of it and the things.
What's the similarities with his experience and so, what's the dissimilarities?
With
his,
and again, with I think as well, like Travis Walton, I think they took him by mistake. It's the same thing. And my friend that they'd taken. But towards the men, they try and ease them down and they try and either try and relax them and explain to them more. With females, they don't. They don't. It's just like they sedate you, put you there and do it. They're just using you like a piece of meat. With males, they try and put like a more feminine approach or more understanding approach, more gentle approach with females. They don't do that.
Is there any idea why they would do that?
I have no idea.
Your personal observation and your perspective?
No, I don't think, I couldn't tell you. There are female, I've only ever seen one female ones. I refer to them all as men because I get like a male presence from
them.
In
terms of the type of ET?
Yeah, yeah, I get a male presence. I've only ever seen one female and that was on a ship with like humans. But I've mainly encountered male ones.
Okay, well, we got another picture here. Here it is.
So this is a face-on picture of the one that knows me. I'm not very good at drawing. His face isn't kind of oblong.
I think your drawings are coming over quite well, but obviously this is not exactly what you've seen.
No. So this is the best I could do it. But if you notice the eyes, if you get closer, there's like a lens underneath. They have eyes under the eyes. But they have like a straight like bone for a nose with two little holes and a mouth. The mouth doesn't move. I've never seen him move them. And the eyes, when they come close to you, look into you to see if you can talk to him. That's the one. And he's about three and a half feet
what
tall.
What do you see in the eyes?
It's like a lens.
Is it just a lens or is it any other?
It looks like eyes underneath eyes. Like painted on eyes underneath eyes, if you know what I mean. Yeah, and that's that.
And that's okay. Well, we'll get the next picture. Now we are going to leave the next picture for the end, because it's a nice picture. So here we are. This is the travelator that you referred to.
Yeah, so this is a travelator. So you'll see, it looks like a snake thing going through the middle. That's the actual thing that was on, and I've drawn
it. That's this thing here.
Yes, yeah. So you'll see number 1, 2, 3, and 4. So there were different positions.
And where's one? One is there, so we'll try to get into that just while we do that.
Oh, no, it says my screen will turn off in 58 seconds.
So that's... We're just getting... Well, how do we... There we are.
So...
That is you in the travelator.
Yeah.
When I woke up and came around, and these are the other humans. All
so they're all humans, every single one. And this is where I think I got my bruising around the neck, because it was like a giant fish hook that came down the back of the neck. So the neck was straight. It came down around your neck, down through your back, underneath your shoulder blades and up underneath your arms. And like a fish hook. And that held you on there, around your chest. So, and when I came out of the light, I could see the others. And as it moved along, I thought I could only see in front of me. And I couldn't turn, it wasn't until that thing moved that I knew that there were other people. There was hundreds of other people.
How fast was this moving?
Very slowly, very slowly. It was moving very, it wasn't moving very, my TV screen has just gone off, by the way.
Looks like something you'd see in an abattoir almost.
It was very, moved very slowly. And it's not jerky movements, it was smooth, but very slow. And...
Okay, we've got different. You've got quite a lot of different captions there.
So there was a. It was like a control room in front of me, but below, it was about 12 feet off the floor. Right. So.
So where are we talking about here? We're talking about number one or two.
Yeah. So number one is where I woke up or came round. I was in front of a giant light. Number two, and then moved slowly to the left. I didn't realise I was kind of coming out of it. Number two, when you saw number two as I moved
you've
along.
You've got a caption there, all adult people dressed on each...
Each hangar. They were awake. Their eyes were open, but they were frozen, like they were asleep. So their eyes weren't moving at all. It was like they were like that, and their eyes didn't move at all. They were just like frozen open, no blinking,
but you
nothing.
Had started to wake up.
And I'd started to wake up. Not that I don't know if I was blinking, but I could see. So the second I was out the light, I could see all the little ones walking about. I could see what they were doing. But I then linked with the one that knows me. He was observing me. He was about 10 feet away from me when I moved to number three and number four. When I moved to number three, that's when he was observing me. He was working with two or three smaller ones.
So just to see for people at home, that's you and three, and that's the...
Position number three, yeah, that was me there.
Position number three.
And the one that knows me was directly in front of me.
And that's it?
Yep, that's him there.
That's the one.
Yep.
He watched me, that one.
Yep. And there's others in the background, like one looked like to be holding, looked like an oval plate. I couldn't really see, but it was flashing lights and on their skin. You could see white lights flashing against the skin. So it was obviously doing something. And when I got to position four, the two little ones noticed that the one that knows me was talking to me.
Okay.
And they shouldn't have been.
That's the two little ones.
Yeah.
And they're probably 2 feet.
They're about two, three feet tall. And they alert everyone knew. The second those two little ones knew, they alerted everyone. And then...
So what was happening that they'd alerted...
Well, what it was...
The one that knows you...
Yeah, the one that knows me had stopped... He was in their link. He'd stopped being in their link, so stopped talking to them. And he was linked with me. We were having like a one-on-one. And all of a sudden, because they were out of his link... They physically stopped what they're doing to look at him to see why they weren't talking back. So I was talking to him and it wasn't answering. He was talking to me. And as they physically looked, they were in the link. And of course, not that they all looked, but the ones directly behind in the link all looked over. So the ones behind them, back at the next panel, stopped what he was doing. I got the feeling he was very angry. He was so quick. He ran down this concourse, ran down the middle.
Now, is this illustrated with this?
Yeah. He ran that line there.
He ran down and jumped and touched my head, which was over there.
Yeah.
Over here?
Yeah. So number four.
Number four. Now, what's this arrow here?
Yeah, that's the one. He was there. He was working there. He stopped working and he ran down. He was angry. He ran down. And ran down straight away. He ran down to stop me seeing. He's the one that put the spider in my head. And the one that was there observing me.
This one here.
Yeah.
Came down.
Yeah, he ran down, jumped up and touched me on the head. And the one that was observing him was trying to stop him. He was trying to tell him that I was from an old line or something or my blood, I was rare. But that was it. And that's all I remember. All I remember seeing after that was the spider.
Spider obviously wasn't successful because you've drawn this.
Yeah. And then I was just trying to hold on to what I remembered. And the next thing I know, I woke up in my room. And I still remembered the spider. And I just remembered like the memory of it.
Now, there's other aspects to this drawing. And let's see which bits are... It's very complicated, a lot going on here.
Yeah, so the two at the back...
This is the big control room, yeah?
Yeah. It was like split into two parts. And they're working on the right and on the left there. There's bigger.
Now, where are we working on the right? This is the right.
Yeah, that's the right. And on the left, the other side at the top of the screen, you'll see two old ones. Now, these were the ones at the back there. There's like a little light. It's like a dim light, but they were looking down. It's like a dark room.
Are you talking about them?
Yeah. They have bulbous heads, very huge heads, very skinny bodies. And they're big eyes.
We'll make this.
They're like big black round eyes kind of in the middle and their face was like podgy and they were at the back and had like a mark down. It's like a blue vein down its side of its head and had like a mark on its tummy. Didn't have any clothes on it. That's during a stick man, but they're very, very thin, very, had like a bit of a paunched belly on them, but I didn't draw it there because it was so far away and had like a mark on it. But they were very old. I could tell they were very, very old, those two. Very, very old. They didn't look like the others.
But they were in the same structure.
In the same structure. They were stood virtually touching each other, very, very close. And then the others were like little ones, white beings, were working on these back panels. They were just walking
these
about.
These panels and things.
Yeah, they were black panels. They were just walking about doing stuff.
And that's a little... Anything more there you want to describe?
No, that's it.
Well, this is for something. Okay, so we'll move on. We didn't really talk about this area here, this whole area here.
So that is when I came out of the light, when I started to come round, that's where I was. I was directly in front of this. It was like a giant spotlight, and it wasn't till, and it was like bright, and I didn't realise it was a spotlight. I had to move slightly when they moved me along, where it's so bright, it was like black behind
it. We're talking about the spotlight
here. Yeah, and it was so black, it looked black behind it. And the spotlight, I then could see it had like a black box, like a black square in the middle of the spotlight. And as it moved...
You're talking here?
Yeah. And as it moved again, I realised when I was a bit further away from it, as I looked at it again, it's like three platforms and there's little white beings walking behind it on the platforms. They were all like doing stuff. And then that's when
what
I realised...
What sort of size is this?
Oh, it's huge. It's a good like 10, 12 feet dish thing, if not bigger. It was huge. It was bigger than me. Two or three times the size of it. It was huge. Absolutely huge. It was quite a distance away from me. But it looked pretty, you know, you could say it was easy 20 foot. It was absolutely huge. And it was just given off, it was like a light. It was blinding, completely blinding. And it was, we was all being passed in front of it. But that's when I learned, when I connected with a little one, the one that knows me.
So are you underneath this?
And yes, this is above in you. Front of it, in front of it.
So are we looking down on this from above?
Yeah, we're looking down from above.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, it was, that's the best way I could draw it to try and describe it. The thing went like that and it was in front of us there. It was high up. It wasn't on the floor. It was high up in front of us. We were about 12 feet off the floor. It was in front of us and a great big, huge, like, searchlight. And it was just coming out. And it wasn't until we moved to the left and the, like, the blackness, you could see there was a black like, box in the middle of it. And it turned out the little one was trying to tell me when he was connected to me. It's like a pheromone they put in a light. It's a frequency of light and a pheromone they put in there to subdue us.
Okay, we have another one, which is some of the details of this have been slightly obscured due to a couple of
tea. Yes, yeah. I think we went through this one in the first one. This is the one that knows me. He's the one on the right. He's about 4.5 feet tall, glowing white skin, and not pip eyes. They are apple pips, like apple pip. His eyes look like apple pips. That's like the size of him. And the little...
That's this guy.
Yep, that's the one that knows me, him.
We can't really read that stuff on the top.
Oh, so the taller one is the one that knows me. And that's what I was writing about. And the little one's like one of the workers. They'll call them like jelly bellies because they look quite small and thin. But they've got a little paunch, like a little pot belly, some of them. And you try like an Ewok with no skin on it. And their eyes are a bit more, they're a bit more apple pip shaped, a bit more closer together, about 3 feet tall. No bone sticking out. They are very cool. Yeah. And that's it. No belly buttons on them.
And finally, there's anything there that that you've mentioned about that you think they were all male?
Yeah, I think they're all male, yeah. See, these were
this
the two.
This is more about the pot-bellied ones.
Yeah, these are the two pot-bellied ones. They were at the back of the room. So these are the ones, they were very, literally touching each other. They seemed so close. And they were far back, but you could see detail because it was a dimly lit room, but there was like a light above them. They're huge, huge heads. And like pot eyes, round eyes. Mouth seemed a bit bigger. Nostrils were a tiny bit farther apart. But they had like a bluey, they looked like a blue... Could have been a black, I don't know. Vein sticking out the stomach and head. It seemed to be one thing. Very thin, very tiny feet and legs. Very thin. But they had like tummies and that seemed to be sagging. But they seemed to be very old. They're only about 3 feet tall. Very
what
pale.
What made you feel they were old?
In the link, you could get a gist of whether they seem to be young or old or... They seem to be older than the rest. It's like you could tell if they're male or female. At least you could tell they were very old. It's just like an instinct they give off. It's like talking to your grandmother. You know she's old. It's weird.
Do you think your grandmother would like to be compared to an alien?
No. It's just, oh, you know, it's just that, you know, you just, no one tells you your grandmother's old. You just know.
So this, we're getting near the end here, my dear.
So this is one of the last times they came to like visit me in the bedroom. This is the first time I've ever seen a wrinkled one. I thought it was really old at first, then I realised it wasn't. It wasn't like the rest of them. I woke up, this again was in my mum's house upstairs. This used to be my old mum and dad's bedroom. And I was in there with my partner. And... I don't know what woke me up, but I didn't get out of bed. I woke me up. Something felt strange but familiar. And as I looked up towards the end of the bed, very slowly, I see something move. Then I see the two little white ones and then the wrinkled one. It looked like it had black wrinkles, but it looked like a brownie colour, like a tan colour.
Are we talking about E.T. the Alien?
Yeah, so you see that kind of colour. It looked like that.
Now, when I say that, I don't want to... I mean, did it look like it, or...
No, it looked to some extent, the colour... No, so its top of its head, instead of being round, it was like a heart shape, but it had deep wrinkles here. Looked black at first, then I realised it was like wrinkles. It looked like it looked very old and had wrinkles on its chest and its arms, but they looked like black wrinkles. And I wasn't sure because it was stood in the dark. It was a completely different colour.
I'm not sure if such a being was in Whitney Strieber's book.
Don't know.
It was the film.
No, I think they had just had weird heads, little ones with hoods or something. Purple, weren't they, or something? But he
I'm
was
just trying to get a reference for people to visualize.
No, it wasn't nothing like that. It was. Again, I'm going to go back to Star Wars. It's not, you know, with the little Ewoks, and you get an old one that frowns and had loads of wrinkles there. So it was like,
right, okay.
It looked like that, but with a heart. The top of the head looked like a heart shaped head, and a different. The others were like glowing white beings. This thing looked like a brown tone.
So these ones beside it are like glowing white beings.
Yeah, the other ones are glowing white. He's not. He's like a brown tone with deep wrinkles. He wasn't white at all. And they're at the end of the bed, and I knew they were there to take me. The little ones, they were there to take me, and I just laid back down, like, if you're going to take me. I couldn't be bothered, and that was it. And there was a flash of light, and that was it.
So, but we, with the bathroom light, all that's there, so that's that. Now, we... You've been around, you've been photographed, and your conference is being highlighted in your local newspaper. And this is from...
This the Hampshire Chronicle interviewed me, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it there. Yeah. And you're with the very wonderful Linda Howe. Explain all that.
So I met
that's
Linda
October
Moulton
the 13th, Howe. 2022.
Yep, so... So what it was, I attended the Awakening Conference. I met Linda Moulton Howe two or three times there, actually. And on the last time, we went up to have my photograph taken with her, and I've spoken to her, and she's seen me before, and she said, tell me a story, I'm interested. So I started to talk to her.
She was very interested in what you had to say.
She was very interested. She held the whole queue up, and you can imagine 200 or 300 people, if not more, waiting to have their picture taken. So I felt very under pressure. And she interrogated me. I want to say it's an interview, but she interrogated me for about 20 minutes, half an hour. And it was question after question after question after question. She was very quick, very under pressure. I wasn't expecting it. And in the end, I had a turn and break what I was saying to her. Look at my partner for help. I felt so embarrassed because people behind me could hear me. And
well, when Linda Moulton Howe wants to talk to you, my dear, it's better to...
Yeah.
Talk to Linda Moulton Howe.
Yeah.
She's in command. She's
yes, just, she yeah. was very much in command. And I gave the name. She was very interested in the name David Bew. She said it was unusual. She wanted to know about the images that they showed me at the end, about the end of the world and the underwater volcano and the interaction with that.
Too much.
Yeah.
There has been an underwater volcano which has exploded in recent weeks and weeks. We're talking November, late November 2022 here. There has been a huge eruption in the Pacific Ocean from Tonga, which the eruption from that was so intense, the water vapor actually hit the satellite taking the pictures. That has caused a severe effect in the southern hemisphere, reducing sunlight by about 3 to 5%. That it's only just happened about, well, three...
Well, they showed me that a few years ago. So I told Linda Moulton Howe about that. And she was very interested in that at the time. So, and at the same conference, people would say to me, where are you from? I'm like, Southampton. Of course, once I was at a conference, then everybody knew I was an abductee because I was talking to Linda Moulton Howe. I kind of got swarmed. And everyone wanted to know questions. I didn't know where to put myself.
Well,
it was the first
if people see Linda Howe showing interest in what you're saying, that must be very special.
Yeah, so I was kind of swarmed after that. So, and I'm not used to it and didn't know what to go, you know, so I was very, so I just said, look, I'm from Southampton. They said, oh, you've got to come so far, and it's always up the country. So, and the last one I went to Blackpool, where I met Giorgio Tsoukalos. I met him, Tsoukalos. I met him a couple
He's
of times.
He's
a
man
there.
With a hair.
Yep, I've met him. There's my patch. So I met him a couple of times there and I had a little chit chat with him. And he's in agreement with me. He doesn't believe. Again, a belief is an act of faith. He knows. And he said the same. I completely
agree with you on that. Yeah. Do not believe any of this. Just see what's there.
Yep. And I'd tell people, don't believe. You need to know. And I know. And he said, Tina, do you believe? I'm like, no, I don't believe.
It's a trick question, by the way, when they say that.
And he smiled at me and he said, good answer. He said, I said, do you believe? He said, no, I'm the same answer as you. He said, I don't believe and I know, you. Knowing
if you believe in something, you're a bit sort of odd, you know. You believe in Star Wars being real or something.
But I know, and there's a difference. So, and a couple of people from out there, again, approached me, recognised me from a few others. And I got a bit of a celebrity and been asking me to sign pictures and have their pictures taken of me, famous. Which I'm quite happy to do that. People a bit more, when I tell them about, you know, they think it's going to be brightness and light and I've had a good experience. When I tell them I haven't, they're a bit traumatised. But they said, where do you come from? Southampton. And there's nothing down there. They said, there's nowhere we can come down. There's no one's ever puts anything on down south. And then everyone down south says, oh, we've always got to travel up north. So I thought,
well, there's always trouble up north.
So I thought, do you know what? I'll put a conference on down here. And it won't just be about UFOs. It will be about, it'd be centred around abduction. It'd be abduction, local things that people see in the sky. It'll be about crop circles. Lorraine Wilkins, she's a huge advocate for Marshall Van Summers, huge in America, sold millions and millions of pounds worth of books, all about aliens and they're not our allies. And they go on about the Bible.
There is a school of thought where there's not a good, none of the aliens. They may be friendly to you at some point, but none of them have our interests at heart.
Exactly. I've always said that. So she's been a huge advocate of mine. She will be speaking on Marshall Van Summers' behalf. And she will also be giving out free books at my Encounters Expo. So people to come down. So
free books?
Yeah, she gives away free.
Are you talking about three books? Or
no,
are you talking
free.
About free.
F-R-E-E, free. You can have as many as you
there's
want.
There's no way I'd take a bit of a pen.
Free, yeah. Take a bag along with you. And she gives free Marshall Van Summers books away. You have bookmarks, tickets, everything you can get. She gives away free. She will tell you quite free. And I've asked her to put a presentation on behalf of Marshall Van Summers about his books and the content of those books, and she will be talking. So it will be about abduction. It will be about aliens. It
and
won't
where
really be about
is it?
You.
And how do we get tickets?
So it will be at Jubilee Hall in a place called Bishop's Wortham in Southampton in Hampshire. It's a little village. It's in a village hall. And
is
you
there
can,
parking? Are there B&Bs?
Yes, there's parking. So
can you
have to
camp?
Pay to. Yeah, no, you can't camp there. There is plenty of places to go. Countryside pubs, B&Bs, hotels. There's a list of them online.
What do you mean a list of them online?
So just look up Hampshire Bed and Breakfast in Bishop's Wharton, more hotels, and there's big guys and lists you can choose from. There is parking. You can pay to park way over there. There's plenty of ample parking. There's a huge car park. There will be hot food there, so you don't have to wander off for miles. Hot food will be available there on the day. You can get tea and coffee there. You have plenty of time to walk around, photograph people, plenty of famous people there. Miles Johnson.
I'm just attending. I'm just going to turn up.
Yeah, Miles attending.
I'm only going there for the beer.
And there'll be, of course, Gary Heseltine will be speaking on behalf of UFO Truth magazine and as the UK's president of the ISAR. David Hodren, chairman of BFOG, Birmingham UFO Group, lead investigator, deputy of ISAR. He'll be there, but he'll be talking about abduction. Andy Thomas will be there talking about crop circles. I'll be there talking about...
Andy Thomas, of course, is the chief organiser of the great and very long-running Glastonbury Symposium. So that's a big, big feather in your cap there.
Yeah, he's very good. And that's why I asked him to come down. He's very local as well. So it's all kept from, a lot of it in. Maria Wheatley, she's a great lady. I've met her at Blackpool. Very interested in what she had to say. She'll be hosting it. She's a very professional lady. And she'll be promoting her new book there.
Let's put it this way. She doesn't always need a microphone.
And Lorraine Wilkins will be there, again, advocate for Marshall Van Summers. And myself, Tina Bird, will be there.
Are you going to turn up at your own conference?
And talk about abduction.
You're not going to do that, are you?
Yes, and talk about abduction. So you will see me there.
You're going to talk about abductions, are you?
Yes, well, my abductions.
Your abductions.
And what I think on the subject. And so hopefully you'll see lots of other people. I think there will be a field investigator, hopefully, there from MUFON in America.
So they are very highly trained.
Yes, so I've spoken to him as well. I've been interviewed by...
They do have a lot of things they've got to...
Yeah, so...
And
I've been interviewed by him.
Magazine do stuff on that. Who? What's his name?
Andy Akers.
Yeah.
So he will be there, hopefully. I've spoken to Andy and he's promised me that he will be there, hopefully. So fingers crossed. And he's interviewed me before. We had a good old few hours chit-chat before.
And where
before.
Did he interview you? On the telly or
No, he was at my hotel in Manchester. We went to the bowlers. And we both be happening to...
Now, where can we see that? Can we see that interview somewhere?
No, he hasn't recorded it. He didn't record it. We were just sat down one-on-one.
You were just having a chat.
Yeah, for many hours. We talked about our experiences together.
And you didn't record it.
No.
Well, we've recorded it here now on Basis 130. Recorded it here now, so
hopefully
parts 1, 2 and 3. And it's been an amazing time.
Thank you.
And I bought a new alarm clock and it didn't work. Or another one anyway. That's an old joke. Anyway, thank you very much, Tina. And I mean, to be honest, you're saying you're doing this because the heart monitor you were wearing during part one ain't there now.
No, it is. It's coming off tomorrow.
Oh, it's coming off tomorrow.
So,
it
yeah,
is.
There it is there, guys.
Yeah, there it is. My God, there it is. Well, I mean, is that a subject of concern? I mean, you're not going to go and be so rude as walk out the door and drop down dead, are you?
I hope not.
Well, I think that's probably, yeah, Jesus. Jesus, God almighty. Well, you've been making a coffee and we've been having a few cups of coffee and you've got a fantastic little cups of coffee there from the Basis Project. That's 2021 one. It's a very rare one. And can you read what it says on that?
I made it to Basis 2021.
With intact DNA.
With intact DNA. Hopefully my DNA is intact. So hopefully Miles will be bringing some of these to the conference and he could sell them there for free.
Them there for free?
Well, I will allow Miles to come there, no charge, and see who will charge you for his cup. So please come along and buy a Basis cup.
Well, that's unique. It's for 2021. Sort of
yeah, thing. So please come along. Miles will be selling these there. Hopefully
better
you'll see
some made then by April.
Yeah, you can
and
get some.
What's
made
the date?
April? It's April the 22nd and 23rd. It's a Saturday and Sunday, April 2023. So please come along. You can take pictures of all the celebrities. Gary's been on Ancient Aliens, so you have plenty of time to talk to him
I
about
shouldn't
that.
Say that. I was about to say Gary's an ancient alien himself.
Oh, yeah,
he won't
he
appreciate
is.
That. He's got photographic evidence on me falling asleep, so he can pull that out of a drawer.
They're
anytime.
Very nice people, very patient, yeah, so you can have autographs and speak to them.
But okay, I'd excellent.
Personally, I'd like to thank Miles for having me on. Thank you
well,
very
I
much.
Well, I thank you very much. You've come up two times now from the whole way from Southampton to the darkest depths of the centre of Wiltshire here. We've done these three parts and it's a big deal and thank you very much. And any final word to anybody who's been abducted or in that sort of situation?
Please don't think you have to wait till you're older like I was. I didn't really want to come forward. The only reason I came forward was for medical help and advice on my partner's condition. I was so worried about what we've been through. So please don't worry alone. And you feel better once you get it off your chest and someone's not going to ridicule you. Will actually believe what's happened to you. Everybody's story, no two stories are the same. So no matter what you have to say, I'm quite prepared to listen to you. If I can help in any way and point you in the direction of someone can help, because you just want information or someone to or understand what's happened to you, then I'm quite willing. The best person to speak to about that will be, again, is a gentleman called David Hodron at BFOG, Birmingham UFO Group, and you can find him online. But thank you to Basis Project and thank you again to Miles Johnson for letting me be here.
Well, thank you, Tina. Big deal. A really big deal. You really know how to put things forward. You've got courage and conviction. And the main thing, don't believe it, just experience it or understand it. But it's not a belief system. That trick picture in X-Files, I just want to believe, is not what you want to do. Okay, that's my rant. You've had a rant. And we're going to call that a wrap. And we're going to do a thing called Cut to Bars.
Thank you very much.